Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here, right now on the Spirit Alive Network. Yes, we are here. We are live. And yes, we are blessed. We are happy to be here once again. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning, afternoon, evening. Wherever you're listening to me from around the world right now, in Jesus' name, we praise God for being here once again on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, I am your host, Adam Tuggle, and this is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Yes. And you are blessed not because you're listening to me. And if you're listening to me right now, if you're hearing my voice, you are blessed not because you're hearing my voice, but because if you're hearing my voice right now, you are in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God praise on today. Yes, we are in the middle of the weekend. Amen. And I want to thank God for bringing us over into another weekend. Yes, and yes, we know that tomorrow is Sunday. Yay, hallelujah, glory be to God. Amen. But right now, we are giving God praise for living in this time, this moment, this season, this hour, in Jesus' name, this second, this minute. Amen. I don't know if I said that right, but amen. Praise God for being here. Amen. Want to thank the Spirit Alive Network, the Spirit Alive Network family. Y'all know who y'all are. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for our founder, our leader over here at the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Sherlene Cook. Amen. We thank God for allowing us to come in Jesus' name and to bring forth another topic from the Word of God. The Lord has laid it upon my heart to talk and to, I don't really want to say teach, because I don't consider myself a teacher, or I'm not the best preacher in the world. Amen. Whoever you want to call me is, whatever. But the Lord has laid it upon my heart to talk about today. The topic today, the title of today's topic is Contend for the Faith. Amen. Contend for the Faith. And you might say, well, Minister Tuggle, you've talked about faith before. And we've talked about faith on this show multitudes of times, but I believe that it's prevalent, and I'm just doing what the Lord has called for me to do this day. And the Lord, because I wanted to talk about something else, but the Lord said, talk about contend for the faith. And we are talking about this topic today because we have a lot of people, and I don't like going here like this, but I'm going to do what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. We have multitudes and multitudes of people that are walking in their own flesh, in their fears, in their whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're walking in their own state of mind, and the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He has come to give us a stable mind. He has come to give us a mind of peace, amen, about everything. And we know that we, a couple weeks ago, we talked about depression and the battle of the mind. And we talked about this on the show, and things that we have in our lives, problems that we have in our lives, do lead to depression. And we see things going on, and we want God to work everything out the way, you know, the way he says in his word. You know, he said that he would never leave us, never forsake us. He would always be there for us. What other scripture could I quote right now? I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. We read these scriptures and we see them. We read about the woman with the issue of blood, where she went 12 long years, and after 12 years, she made up in her mind that she was going to be healed. And she made up in her mind, even if I have to crawl to him, I'm going to get healed. And she went through this 12 long years. We, you know, eventually she got her healing by touching the hem of the Lord's garment, of Jesus' garment, and she got her healing. Amen. And we want the Lord to come and touch us. We want the Lord to come in and touch our problems, come in and touch. But I have found out that we must contend for the faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The thing that I found in this contend for the faith, and this is found in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse number 3, since there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. But Jude 1 and 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, we see that word in there, contend. Contend to the faith, which is another word for contempt, contentment. We must be content, contentment, content. We must be content in our faith. We must be content on where God has us. Not saying that we're going to be there forever, but we must be content in the faith. And being content in your most holy faith is not only having, and it talks about salvation, and it's talking about not walking away from the salvation that God has given us. And in our salvation, we must be content until God is ready to move for us. And we live in a generation now that we don't want to wait for anything. We don't like hearing the word no. We don't like hearing the word wait. And this goes way back to my generation. when I was a child. I didn't like hearing the word wait and no. When my dad and my mom used to tell me wait and no, now I ain't say nothing to them about it. Hey, man, I was mindful of what I was mindful, but I didn't like hearing the word wait. I didn't like hearing the word no. I mean, you're a child. You want something. You don't want to hear the word no. You don't want to hear the word wait. You want to hear the word yes and when I can get it. Amen. And we are that way with God. We're his children. We want to hear the word yes and when we're going to get it. Amen. But sometimes I remember my brother said in a service one time, there is a blessing in the word no. Amen. Sometimes our blessing lies in no. Sometimes our blessing lies in wait. If he says no, if we have prayed to him and contending in our faith and praying to God that he will move for us or give us something, and the Lord says no, we must contend to a lot of us. We when we hear the word no from the Lord, we want to walk away from God. We want to go the opposite way when we hear the word no. And sometimes when we hear the word wait, we want to walk away from God. But when we hear the word no, it's not for us to walk away from God. It's for us to be more content in our faith. And being content in our faith, we must think on these things which are lovely, which are just, which are pure, these things that the Bible says that we must think on. And we must think back, hey, look, if the Lord said no, and this is just a nugget, this is just a little golden nugget for people. If you hear the word no, and this is from me to whoever's listening, if you hear the word no from the Lord, just know that the Lord has something better for you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't try to fix it. Don't try to make it be something that's nothing there. Don't try to fix it yourself. Don't try to orchestrate it yourself. Because I guarantee you, if you or I try to orchestrate it ourselves, we're going to mess it up. And then we'll be calling God and saying, Lord, I'm in this mess. Get me out. And sometimes the Lord will get you out automatically, but sometimes the Lord will let you sit in your bed and let you think about what you've done. Amen. He does that. He allows you to lay in your bed of affliction or whatever you allowed yourself to lay in and allow you to think about it. But we can avoid all of that if we understand, if we contend to the faith, if we seek his faith. If we seek him first, the thing that I've noticed is this. Everybody, and this is just from me, and this is what I've noticed from the Lord. Amen. This is what I've noticed from the Lord. That those that the Lord has come to, he's healed them. Amen. Now, he has the power to heal anybody. We all know this. He has the power to heal anybody. He has the power to touch anybody. He has the power to destroy, the wrongful situations of our lives or whatever. But those that he had to come to, he's healed. But the ones that were desperate and came to him, he's made whole. Everything was worked out. Everything was fixed. We got an example. The woman with the issue of blood. Amen. When she came to him, she crawled unto him. Amen. She crawled unto him. She was on the ground. She was low. And she was desperate for him. She was desperate for her healing. She was desperate. And when you get to the point that you get content in the faith, that you're desperate for God, that your contentment becomes desperation for God, that you're desperate to know more about him, to learn more about him, to get so desperate, hey, look, God, I'm willing to give you my all. That's when he shows up and shows out in our lives. When we get desperate in wanting to do his work, when we get desperate and get content in wanting to do what he wants us to do, that's when we're made whole. Because when she got desperate enough, when she got desperate, when she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says he told her, your faith has made thee whole. It was her faith, her desperation. That's why we got to get content and get desperate in the faith of God. We got to get desperate and get content in our walk with God. We got to get desperate. She was desperate. She knew that this ailment in her body, that this issue with her blood, had she went to physician after physician after physician. The three Hebrew boys were desperate. They were desperate. They knew that they, hey, look, we about to burn. But we got to contend to the faith. We got to contend to the faith. We can't walk in. They could have walked in their fear and just bowed down before King Nebuchadnezzar. But yet they were content in their most holy faith, and they were desperate. How do we know that they were desperate? They said, even if he doesn't deliver us, we still believe that he can. We still believe that he can. They were desperate. The Lord knew that they were desperate because he knew that they, hey, look, if I don't do something, the Lord was like, hey, wait a minute. If I don't do something for these three young men, they're going to die. Now, we know that the Lord has the power controlling of life and death. We know this. He chooses whether we live or die. But I'm just giving a scenario here. But the Lord saw their desperation, and he moved. He moved. And look, let me show y'all something. Doesn't it seem like when we get desperate for God, when we get content in the faith, and that's that desperation. When you get content into the faith, when you get content, and when I say content to the faith, When I say contend to the faith, that means getting into him and him into you. When we get so deep into him, when we get so desperate for him, when everything else is blotted out of our mind, that we get so close to him that everything, every worry, every care, every wrong thing in life that could happen to us, we don't focus on that. Now, we know it's coming, but we don't focus on that, but we focus on the joy of the Lord. That's content. That's being desperate. And when we get to that place, when we get to that place of desperation, see, desperation wasn't even in my notes today, y'all. This is nothing but the Holy Ghost. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. But the Lord needs somebody to get desperate. Desperate in your walk. Desperate in your talk. Desperate in your giving. Desperate in your... Do something desperate for him. And you might have people tell you, look, let me show you something. When we do things for the Lord, and when the Lord asks us to do stuff, in our natural minds might not make no sense. It might not make no sense to man. It might not make no sense to the natural eye. To the natural eye, it might not make no sense.
But when you get desperate, I guarantee you, you're going to do some things that don't seem right. When people get desperate, they do some things they don't think right. Some people, when they do desperate things, desperate times call for desperate measures, as the saying says. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And in them desperate measures, you'll do just about anything to get what you need. Amen. So when we're talking on the spiritual sense, I'm talking about when you're doing desperate things in the spirit, you praying. When the Lord ain't even asked you to pray, you just praying. Lord ain't even asked you to pray, but you talking to Him. And you're not just talking to Him about yourself. You're talking to Him about other people. Lord, heal them. Lord, touch them. Lord, save them. You start going in intercessory prayer for others. That's being content in the faith. See, when we're not worried about our problems, that's being content. When you're content in the faith, you are not worried about your problem, but you worry about the work of God. And in the work of God, you're not going to always have it. It's not going to always be a flower bed of ease. It's not going to always be what you want it to be. It's not going to always be a microwave thing. There's something that the Lord taught me in my walk with Him, is that He uses our issues and our problems to teach us and to teach other people and to show off His glory. Those are three things. Now, there's more, but those are three main factors on why he allows us to go through things. Those things that we go through are sent here, are done, are allowed because it is to show us who we are and where we are and where we need to be. And it shows other people. It shows other people what God can do if we allow it to, if we're not complaining. Because a whole lot of people, when they are not content in the faith, when people are not content in their walk with God, if they're not content in their most holy faith, then you get a desperation of complaining. And let me show you. When you start complaining to God, it is not a prayer. That's not prayer. That's complaining. I'm gonna show you something. Let's go to the book of Mark. I'm gonna show y'all something. Mark chapter. Let me see what chapter that is. Gotta get my reading. My reading glasses on here. Hold on. Mark chapter 4, verses 33 through 41. Now, I'm going to read this. And when I read this, I want y'all to see something. This is a place of not being content in the faith. I'm just going to say that now. And these are His disciples. Amen. I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to show y'all what being content in the faith, being not content in the faith will get you. And I'm going to show you what complaining will get you. I'm going to show y'all this. The Lord has allowed me to see this in the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 33 through 41. And with many, oh, wait a minute. No. Yeah, verse 35. We're going to start at verse 35. Yeah, let's start at verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What matter of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now I want y'all to see this. We read these verses, and I want you to see, and I'm going to break these verses down by the help of the Holy Ghost, but I want you to see this. In verse 36, it said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was other little ships. We see this. They're getting ready to take a journey. They're getting ready to go. And in verse 37, it says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. Now, in our life, we're going to have storms. We're going to have our lives are going to be tossed around. It's not going to be a flower bed of ease, okay? Now, watch this. I want you to see this. In verse 38, and he was in the hinder parts of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Right there. They were not content in their faith. And you might say, well, how are they not content in their faith? They just are going to ask Jesus, are you not caring about that we perish? No. They were complaining. They were worried. They were worried about them being taken over by the waves that was in that sea. They were. They were more worried about perishing than they were about going to get Jesus and saying, hey, Lord, you know, they had the power to rebuke the winds themselves. But they didn't do that. They had Jesus on the ship with them. We see this. He said he was in the hinder part, sleep on a pillow. And you know what? We see in our lives, we pray to God, and we talk to the Lord, and we say, God, when is it going to be my turn to get blessed? When is it going to be my turn to get married? When is it going to be my turn to get that house? When is it going to be my turn to get that car? When is it going to be my turn to get that business? When is it going to be my turn to get that further in my anointing? When is it going to be my turn to increase my prayer life? Lord, when is it going to be my turn? Lord, when? and we start complaining. But we got Jesus standing right beside us. And the storm is scary. We got problems in our life, and we asking, Lord, when? Lord, when are you going to bring me out? Lord, when are you going to? Stop complaining. Lord, do you hear me? Yes, the Lord hears you. He's right beside you. He said he would never leave you. He said he wouldn't forsake you. Be content in the faith. We walk in our fear. We walk as people. We walk in fear so much. We walk in fear. We walk in fear of our bills. We walk in fear. We walk in fear of man. We walk in fear of what man's going to say if we preach in the word of God. We walk in. We can't do that. We're meant to be persecuted. We're meant to be persecuted. If you preach in the word of God, and I'm talking about you preaching the word of God, the way the word of God needs to be preached, not everybody's going to accept it. And I said this to a person on today. I said the word of God is either going to drive you towards him or away from him. Because not everybody, and this is why I say that, not everybody's going to accept the word of God for what it is, for face value. Not everybody's going to accept it. Not everybody's going to accept the word of God at face value. They need to see it. They need to hear it. They need to, something. But not everybody's going to accept the word of God. Not everybody's going to accept salvation. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. That's why everybody ain't going to heaven. Because everybody ain't going to accept salvation. Sorry to say it. I hate to say it. And that I really do hate to say it. But everybody's not going to accept salvation. But when they don't accept it, don't get weary. Don't get weary in well-doing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Stay steadfast. Stay unmovable. Be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters. Amen. God loves the fact that you are content in the faith. God loves it when we content in the faith and we get desperate. We get more results being desperate and being content in the faith than we do complaining and not being content in the faith. Amen. Why do you think earlier I said you got to get desperate? Desperate times calls for desperate measures. And I said earlier, those that got desperate for him and came to him, and they didn't have to, and he didn't have to come to them, because there were some people he had to come to, and they got their blessing from it for him coming to him, but they weren't desperate. They weren't desperate, because if they were desperate, they would have went looking for him. The woman at the well, she got her blessing, but the Lord came to her. It's when we come to him. It's when we come to him in a desperate way, is when we get the result. We see that the woman with the issue of blood was desperate enough to come to him, and she was made whole. That's why I said, when we get desperate, we get made whole. When we're not desperate and come to him, and he has to come to us, He has to come to us all the time. We get our blessing. We get healed. But do we get made whole? We get a touch. Some of us go to church. Look, some of us, and I hate to say this, but I hear people sometimes say, well, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to listen to a pastor to have a relationship with God. Yes, you do. And you might say, well, why is that so? You're wrong, Minister Tugger. You're wrong. God is everywhere. Yes, he is everywhere. But sometimes, just like you want somebody to, just like in a friendship or a relationship, you don't always want to be the one giving all the time. You want to receive something too. You want to receive something too. You don't always want to be the one giving. If you're the only one giving out of the whole friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it, that's a toxic relationship or a toxic friendship. And we treat God that way. And it ain't just about going to church. It's also about what we do with our life. But we got to get desperate. We got to contend for the faith. That's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we get desperate and we contend and we are content in the faith, when we are content in our most holy faith, when we are content in knowing who God is and what God can do, when we content in our salvation, when we are content in being saved, when we won't let no man tell us different, when persecution comes our way and we won't back down, when persecution comes and we won't take down from the word of God, because there's persecution coming. There's persecution already here. We got examples of the persecution in the Word of God. Not just the three Hebrew boys. They got hit with persecution. Job was hit with persecution. Come on now. Moses was hit with persecution. When Moses was trying to tell Pharaoh to free the children of Israel, he was hit with persecution by Pharaoh. He was hit with persecution. And it doesn't say this in the Word of God, but I can just see Pharaoh now. Who is this dude telling me they got a speech impediment? He stuttered. Moses stuttered. Moses had a speech impediment. Who is this? He ain't nothing. He ain't nothing. How he gonna tell me to free? I'm Pharaoh. I'm it. But with God on our side, we can face anything. We can face the greatest of the great that the devil has for us. And when I say great that the devil has for us, I mean you can bring the most greatest, what you think is great, devil. We could tell the enemy, come on with your best shot. Come on with your best shot. Come on. In the word, and most people that know me knows, and I've said this before, knows that as a child, loved wrestling. I loved watching professional wrestling. And there were certain wrestlers that I used to like as a child, and one of them was The Rock. And his catchphrase was, just bring it. Well, we can tell the devil, just bring it. When we're content in the faith, we can tell the enemy, just bring it. Bring all you got. Bring everything you got. Bring everything you got. But I'm not going down. I'm going to be content in my walk with God. I'm not walking away from this. I'm not pulling away from this. Nothing can, no, I'm not, I will not be, I am not persuaded. I am easily persuaded from this. I'm going to say it like the Bible says. Nay, neither life, nor death, nor any shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing will be able to separate me. I'm going to be content in the faith. I'm going to be content in my walk. I'm going to be content in my praise. I'm going to be content in my giving. No matter the people on the outside looking in might say that that's crazy. Why are you giving such in a time like this? Why are you giving the way you're giving and we in the midst of a pandemic? Why are you giving? Why are you going to church and we still dealing with a pandemic? The devil is alive. The Lord knows all that. That's why I'm content. That's why I'm content. My former pastor used to say, I'm going to kill me a devil. Don't you know when you content in your faith, you are killing the enemy. You are killing his kingdom. But this is what it is. In the book of, I believe it's John 10:10, it says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. That abundant life lies into the contending to the faith. We have to be content in what God has given us. We must be content in it. We cannot sit there and worry about the things of this world. We cannot sit there and worry about the problems that we are faced with. We cannot sit there and just dilly-dally and be mentally challenged about the issues of our lives and the people of our lives. Because people will weigh you down. People will weigh you down. You don't believe me? Ask Job. You don't believe me? Ask Job. If Job was alive today, he could tell you, oh yeah, people can weigh you down. They can try to. His wife tried to weigh him down. Job's wife tried to weigh him down. Job's friends tried to weigh him down. Well, how do we know? Job's wife told Job, "You man, you might as well curse God and die. Curse him and die." Job's friends thought that he had sinned. All of this stuff happening to you, Brother Job? Job, you must have sinned, man. You must have sinned. No. But when you get desperate, he got desperate. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't charge God foolishly. He does not, man. If we can understand that, if we can understand that the joy of the Lord, we got to understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that we can make it through anything with him. But we got to be content. We must be content in the faith to let that joy work. The Bible says all things with God, all things are possible. We got to understand that. We got to have on a spiritual mindset, spiritual mind sense to understand that. We can't understand. We cannot understand the spiritual with taking on a natural mindset. We can't. We cannot do that. As saints of God, we cannot take on the spiritual things taking on a natural mindset. It won't work. It will not work. Just like you trying to use natural stuff to cure a spiritual thing, you can't do that. I ain't even going to say you can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. We trying to look, and that goes for sinners too. Sinners too. We as people we as people cannot, if you are dealing with something, and I'm going to say this today, if you are dealing with something today, and I'm talking to who I'm talking to, I don't know who I'm talking to today. But if you are dealing with something today, I encourage you. You might say, well, he's about to say pray more. He's about to say fast more. What has that gotten me? And if you, where has that gotten me? The Lord ain't answered my prayer yet. The Lord ain't, okay. Be content in the faith. Sometimes God allows us to go through things because he wants to see what you're going to do. Sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. We hate those words. I said it earlier. We want everything quick. We are living in a more of a microwave generation than any other generation has ever lived. We are living more in a microwave generation now than ever. But we must contend. We must contend to the faith. We must contend to the faith. We must contend to the faith and know that God is able. God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. God is able. We hear the songs. We hear the preaching. We hear the pastor every Sunday. We talk about it. But do we really contend to the faith? Do we really contend to the faith? Do we really contend to the faith that God has put on the inside of us? Or are we faithless in certain things, in certain areas of our life? Are we faithless or are we faithful? Ooh. There are some things that we are so faithful about. We know that God is able to do it, that we believe it. We know it. We believe it. We read it all the time. We say it all the time, and we live it out. And then there are some areas in our lives that we're faithless. We don't believe it. But we must contend to the faith. We must contend to the faith. We must contend to that which was put before us. That's why the Bible says contend to the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That which you were doing before, keep doing it. I remember one of my heart doctor, and I've said this on the show before, my heart doctor, when I was going through my issues with my heart and everything, because those that I've said it on the show before, that I was born with heart disease. I was born with a disease called tricuspid atresia, which is a heart defect in the heart. And this doctor told me, he began to ask me, well, what do you do? What are you doing? What are you doing to keep yourself going? Because I see that scientifically, it is scientifically impossible for you to do what you're doing and still being able to go so strong. What are you doing? And I told him, I said, well, and at this time I wasn't married or anything, or, you know, I was living on my own and all this, but I told him, I said, the only thing I do is go to work and I go to church and I do this and I take help, you know, every now and then I help take care of my nieces and my nephews and I spend time with my family, and that's basically all I do. I'll go here, go there. Go here, over here, to minister to somebody, or, you know, whatever. And he began to look at me and he said, is that all you do? I said, yes, this is all I do. This is what I do 24/7. 365 days a year. 365 is all I do. Go to work. And when I'm at work, I work, but I do see. And I told somebody on my job, see, you can still contend for the faith doing the things that and I don't want to say the world asks you to do, but in your natural day-to-day life, you might say, well, how can I contend for the faith doing what I'm doing in my natural day-to-day life? Don't you know when you go to work, you can still honor God? Well, you might say, well, yeah, because the Bible says if a man that don't work don't eat, so I got to work because I got to eat. No, I'm not talking about that. And, yeah, I'm talking about work. But when you do things, when you go to work, and I'm using work as an example because this is what I do. When I'm at work, I'm still praising God. I'm still ministering. I'm ministering while I'm on my job. I do it all the time. Sometimes my boss even lets me do it. But I do it in a way that is I'm still doing my job, but yet I'm still ministering. I'm still ministering the word of God. I'm not getting in trouble. I'm not pushing. And you might say, well, to a sinner or to a normal person, you might be pushing your religion on somebody. No. I'm not pushing anything on anybody when I give my testimony about how the Lord delivered me from my heart disease. That's ministering. And I'm being content in the faith. When I tell how good God is, when I had somebody look at me yesterday and say, ask me how old I was, and I told them I'm getting ready to be 34 years old. And they said, what? And how I told them, I said, I got a wife and I got 3 children. They said, what? And they looked at me, they said, well, what? What in the world? How are you looking so young and able to take care of children and able to take care of a wife and looking so young? You don't even look 33. I said, because that's the grace of God. That's nothing but the grace of God. That's nothing but God keeping me and preserving me. That's ministering. That's being content in the faith. But yet, still doing my job. That's what I'm talking about. And when you do, you're honoring God in everything you do. J-Moss came out with a song years ago. And he said in the song, if I was a potter, I would use my hands to praise. If I was a singer, I would use my voice to praise. If I was a writer, I would use my pencil to praise God. No matter who or what we are, we must praise him. We must lift him up. And while we're lifting him up in our jobs, when you do it for the great, don't look, some people go to work because they looking for money. I don't go to work just doing it for the money. I don't. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't do it. I do it for I've been working, because I do retail. I do retail work. I don't mind saying it. I love my job. I love it. I love my job. I love retail. Been doing it since I was 18 years old. Love retail work. Yes. And every retail job I've had, every time I've been behind a cash register, you might say, well, that's not nothing big. That's not nothing big, but it's big to me, and it's big to the Lord. Amen. I could still go to higher heights and deeper depths in him just being on a retail job. Amen. But I don't just do it for the pay. I do it for the people. I love people. I'm a people person. My wife says it all the time. You know everybody in the city. Somebody walk up to me. Somebody know me from somewhere. Or know me from a church. Or know, And I had somebody last week come to me and said, even on your job, you find yourself in a church service.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a church in a church that I know of, and this church came out in the parking lot of my job and had church service. And during my 30-minute break, I ran out there and was a part of the church service. That's why the person said, everywhere you go, you find yourself, anytime you find yourself at a church service, even while you working. Yep, sure do. Love it. Because I'm content. I'm content in the faith. I'm content in the faith. Amen. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can go to the chat room, and if you have any questions, you can send those questions in, and Bishop Cook will get those questions to me in Jesus' name. And if you want to inbox me on Facebook, you can gladly do so at Adam Tuggle, my Facebook page right there. You can do that too. And you can remain anonymous if you want to. Amen. But getting back to the topic, I want to say this to everybody that's listening around the world. Contend for the faith. Contend in those most holy faith. And I know that Jude, the book of Jude, and it's talking about contend for the faith. I know it's talking about salvation. But in contending for the faith, you're talking about salvation and you're talking about faith. You're talking about all of that when you talk about contending for the faith. Contend for the faith. We must walk in our most holy salvation in every area of our life. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to content. We have to be content in it. We have to revel in it. We have to lay in it. We have to go to sleep in faith. Don't you know that we go to sleep in faith? We get up in faith, those that are the saints of God. Let me show y'all something. We don't know what's going to happen throughout the day. It is of the Lord's mercy that we see another day. It is of the Lord's mercy that we even wake up in the morning. It is of the Lord's mercy that we have something to eat. It is of the Lord's mercy that we even have a job. But being content in the faith, it's saying, God, I know that you're able, even if you don't bless me. And we have another example in the Bible of not being content in the faith. Lazarus' sister wasn't content in the faith. She said, if you had, and we know that because she said, if you had been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus waited. Jesus waited 4 days, I believe. I believe it was 4 days to raise Lazarus from the dead. Because in that time, I think it was like one or two days. They believed that the person. Let me not say that because I don't know that for sure. So let me not say that. But they had customs back in their day, and they had a certain belief system back then, and that's why Jesus waited 4 days to heal, to bring Lazarus from the dead. Amen.
They were waiting on, Lazarus' sister was waiting on Jesus to come and heal him, to come and raise him from the dead. But Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing in that situation. And Jesus knows what he's doing in our situations. He can heal you. He can touch you and still be over in Canada somewhere and touching another person. He can be in Israel. He can be in Baghdad. Come on now. He can be in Africa. He can be in Venezuela and still be in all these various places at the same time, healing everybody, touching everybody's situation. That's how powerful he is. That's why we need to contend for the faith. We must be content in our holy faith. We must be content in our salvation to know, hey, once we got it, we got power. Once we know that we got power, the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Amen. When you are content in the faith, you get, and when you get a, when you, look, let me show y'all something. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, don't you know that they were all content in their faith? When you got one person content in the faith and you get another person content in the faith, God shows up. When you get groups of people content in the faith, God shows up and shows out. How do we know? Because the day of Pentecost, they were content in the faith. And God moved. God's spirit came down as a rushing mighty wind. And they all began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all went down in Jesus' name on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came because they were content in their faith. Everybody that was in that upper room was content in the faith. They was content. And then they were, and then afterwards, guess what happened? They were not only content in their faith, but they were content in salvation. Salvation was poured out, and they received what they needed. And look, let me show you. Like I said, with the woman with the issue of blood, she was made whole once she came to him. Once she came to him, she was content in her faith to know that God is able to do it, and she came to him, and guess what? She was made whole. When the people in the upper room came into that upper room, they came into that upper room desperate for something, and guess what? God filled them with the Holy Ghost and poured out salvation and free, and they were made whole of their sins. That's why I said we got to get desperate for him. We got to get desperate. If we're not desperate, we won't have desperate things happen. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. We're living in a desperate time now. We're living in, and I'm gonna, if the Lord allows me to, I'm gonna teach that. I'm going to teach. There was a topic that I did, and there was a that the Lord had me, there was a sermon that the Lord had me get together, and I've never preached it. But the title of it was A 911 Emergency. A 911 Emergency. We got an emergency, y'all. We got a 911 emergency. And we got a 911 emergency on this earth. We got people that are crying out for help. When you get a when a dispatcher gets a 911 call, that usually the person on that other side of that phone, they're calling for an emergency. They're calling because they need help. And the Lord's getting a lot of calls for help. And we got a 911. We got a 911 emergency in the spirit. Because we got people that are out there. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We got to get to that place that we are content in the faith, so we, as saints of God, can help the sinner man. So we can lead souls to Christ. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we're meant to be here for, to lead souls to Christ. That's it. That's the main thing. To be a witness for him. He said that you shall be a witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the main thing. And as my former pastors used to say, Pastor Dorothy J. Mack Gordon used to say it all the time, keep the main thing the main thing. If that's the main thing, the main thing is about souls, and we got to keep the main thing the main thing. My pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, he's and my first lady, they've been on the show. They were on the show a couple weeks ago, and my pastor preached a sermon. And he was talking about salvation, and he was talking about the great falling away. And he has a saying. In that verse, it says there should be a great falling away. But he adds on to something to that, and he says, yes, there's going to be a great falling away, but your name wasn't written there, and you ain't got to be in that great falling away. Amen. Sometimes my pastor preached a sermon one time. He said, tell the devil, he preached it, and it was titled, Tell the Devil Just Shut Up. Tell the devil just shut up. Tell your problems just shut up. Sometimes we got to tell our problems. Sometimes we got to tell our issues, because our issues will try to boggle us down, will try to kill us. We try to make us feel like we're not where we need to be. And sometimes our issues and our problems can keep us from where we need to get to in God, because we're so much worried about that. But sometimes we got to tell our issues and our problems. We got to tell our debts to just shut up. We got to tell it all just to shut up. We got to come up higher. We got to come up higher. We got to come up higher in the way that we live. We got to come up higher in the way that we talk, in the way that we walk. We got to come up higher, y'all. Body of Christ, I'm speaking to you. The Lord, I'm going to change that. The Lord is speaking to us and telling us we got to come up higher. We got to come up higher. Man and woman, boy and girl, come up higher. There's something for you than what's out there in that world. He has something for you. There's something waiting for you. And you might say, well, but as soon as I do this, or as soon as I get myself together, I'm going to come back to church. I'm going to get myself right with God. Look, let me tell you something, man, woman, boy, or girl. I don't care if you're saved, unsaved, or what. Sinner, I don't care. If you could get yourself together, you wouldn't need God. You wouldn't need God, and God would not have to die for your sins if you could get yourself together. If you could get your own soul salvation,
together. If you could have your own soul salvation, God wouldn't have had to die. God wouldn't have had to send the Holy Ghost power to help us fight. You don't have the power to fight off the demons and the problems of your life, but God does. You don't. You can use every avenue this world has to offer, but it still won't complete you. You can use every drug, every drink, every smoke. I don't care what it is. You can use it. It's not going to cure it. It's not going to cure it. It's not. And I'm just being blunt now. It's not going to cure it. We deal with spirits all the time. Every day. We're dealing with something. We deal with that. We deal with stuff. We deal with stuff that makes no sense sometimes. We got a whole generation of people killing people, taking people's lives for no reason. What makes you think that you can fight off that stuff without the hand of God? Without his spirit? What makes you think you can fight off? You can't fight off that stuff by yourself. The devil is, look, without the power of God, the devil is too powerful for you. I'm sorry. And I hate to say it that way, but he is. But also, those that have denied the faith, your arms are too short to box with God. And the Bible says it's hard to kick against the pricks, those that have taken the word and watered down the word. It's hard to kick against the pricks, those that have had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Woe unto them, because down in the book of Jude, it goes further. It says ungodly men. Mm-hmm. It says that people have crept in unaware. Things have crept in unaware. Things have crept into the church. But we got to contend to the faith. We're going to receive persecution. Persecution going to come, but I'm going to contend to the faith. People gonna tell you that, oh no, that's for the old, that was for the old church, that was for the Old Testament. We ain't even living in that dispensation no more. We're living under the dispensation of grace. Let me tell you something. The people that say they are living underneath the dispensation of grace and tell you that we are living underneath the dispensation of grace and you can do anything you want to do. Let me tell you something. You're gonna bust a leg of hell wide open. For the ones that are not walking upright, you're going to bust a leg of hell wide open. And I'm just being blunt. Point blank, period. I'm telling you now, those that have not gotten their life right, that goes for me, that goes for the man on the moon, that goes for the next the greatest preacher, that goes for the rich man, that goes for the poor man, that goes for the middle class, that goes for the black, white, Asian, don't matter. Don't matter your religion, color, or creed. If you do not live the way God tells us to live, we will bust a leg of hell wide open. And that goes for saint and sinner. That goes for everybody. God has no respect to person. And I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. He said he is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change his word. He said, before any tittle of his word become void, heaven and earth will pass away. This is a warning today. This is a warning. I don't know who's listening, but this is a warning. We need to get it right. Let's get right, church, and let's go home. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. 99 and a half is not going to do it.
The little bit, the little dab you do, you won't do it now. Because we're living in a sinful nature. We're living in a sinful time. We are living in the end times now. This is end times now. We ain't waiting on the end times. The end times are here. The end times are now. Only thing, the next greatest event is the coming of the Lord. And the only reason why the Lord has not come back now, and this is a warning unto all men, unto all women, unto all children, color, don't matter what color or creed, the only reason why the Lord has not come back is he is giving us an opportunity to get it right. Thus saith the Lord. He is giving us an opportunity to get it right. He is giving us an opportunity. As such as God is God, he has given us an opportunity to get everything right. He is giving us a chance. He has given us a chance. He has given us a chance to get it right. He has given us a chance to live holy because he wants to see nobody. He don't want to see nobody go to hell. It is his will that everybody go to heaven, but everybody's not going. We must depart from sin. If you have any bit of sin in your life, if I have any bit of sin in my life, that goes to everybody. If anybody has any sin in their life, once they leave this world, you best believe you will not make it. You will not make it to heaven. You will not make it to heaven. Well, God is a merciful God. You don't know who God accepts into heaven. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do, because those that are saints of God, you're being judged now. I don't know why I'm saying this, but in this last few minutes, I'm getting ready to say what thus saith the Lord. Those that have the Holy Ghost, those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, those that have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Let me tell you something. You are being judged now. You are being judged right now. And we got one shot at this. I say it all the time. Every man, woman, boy, and girl would be in a devil's hell if it had not been for the Lord dying on Calvary. And let me share something with you. If you do not accept salvation, you are slapping God in the face. If you do not accept this salvation that he has laid out for you, you are slapping God in the face. You want to hold back. You sit over there and you want to hold back a little for yourself. You want to go to church and you want to praise God on Sunday and you want to shout all over the church, but you want to hold back a little for your flesh. The devil is a lie. Come on here. You want to lay around and be spiritually lazy. You don't want to read your word. You don't want to pray. You don't want to fast. But you're calling yourself a saint of God. You can't do it. You can't do it. You only pick the Bible up to dust off your mantle. Uh-oh. But you have a relationship with God, though. You only get down on your knees when you want something from God. You don't pray when you want something from him. That's when you pray. You don't ever pray when he asks you to, or when you just need to pray. And I'm not talking about need by you need something from him or you need him to bring you out of a situation when you just need more of God. Because everybody needs more of God. I do, you do, we all do. But when we get desperate, today I'm gonna challenge somebody. Everybody that's underneath the sound of my voice right now, I challenge you today to get desperate, to contend to the faith, to get more desperate. Don't worry about, look, all that stuff out there in the world, I don't care who I'm talking to. If you a sinner, man, I dare you to get desperate.
Seek him while he yet may be found. Work while it's day, because when night cometh, no man shall work. Night is coming. Night is coming. Noah preached and preached and preached and preached that there was a flood coming, and nobody would listen to him. And then when that flood came, oh yeah, people will listen then, because they see it happening right in front of their face. There's going to be some people that are going to end up lost. And I ain't just talking about sinners. I'm talking about saints. I'm talking about saint and sinner. You know God tugging at you. You know God telling you to get that right, and you ain't got it right yet. You know God done tugged at your heart for you to get saved, for you to come on over into this salvation, and you ain't done it yet. You listen to the word, but are you really listening to the word? I got some friends that I want to see saved. Mm-hmm. You're on the fence about it. You're on the fence. Well, if I may not be able to enjoy life if I come on over here. Let me tell you something. There's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is better than any. You'll have joy. You'll be able to enjoy this life, because this life is full. We read it in John 10 and 10. He said he came to give you life, and that more abundantly, that you'll have abundant life. He came to give you life, and that more abundantly. He died on the cross so that you can have an abundant life. But you got to be separate. You got to be separate. You got to be whole. You want to be whole today? You want to be free? Now, is walking with God going to be a flower bed of ease? No, it's not. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not. But I'd rather go through my problems. I would rather go through my problems with God than to go through my problems without him. And you might say, well, I know God. I know him. You know of him. For the people that say, I know God, but you ain't received salvation, you know of God, but you don't know him. You really don't know him. And I'm just being honest. How can you... Minister Tuggle, now I'm upset. Now I'm. How can you say I don't know God? I know God. I've been raised in church. I fell away, but it's all right. But it's okay. Yeah, you know of him. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not saying that to drive nobody away. I'm not saying that to judge anybody. You know of him. And there's some saints that know of him, but don't really know him. So I ain't just talking to the sinner, man. I'm talking to the saint, too. So don't get me wrong. But when you know God, you know him in the pardon of your sins. And you can contend to the faith. That's what I'm talking about knowing him. You know him to be a burden bearer. You know him to be a heavy load carrier. Mm-hmm. You know him to be a bridge over troubled waters. Mm-hmm. You know him to be, Lord Jesus, are you desperate yet? I actually taught on a topic on my podcast, and it was entitled, it's the top one on my podcast, even, and that was the first one that's the first podcast show I ever had. When I started podcasting, and it's still number one. And it was entitled, Are You Hungry? Are you hungry? Are you desperate for God? Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry? Because the Bible tells us, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for him? Are you desperate? Are you content in the faith? Are you desperate enough? like the woman with the issue of blood? Are you desperate enough like Job? Are you desperate enough like Moses? Are you desperate enough like the children of Israel? Are you desperate? Are you desperate like the three Hebrew boys? Are you desperate to content to the faith? Amen. In these last few minutes that we have left on this show today, I want to encourage you and tell you that God loves you. He does. He loves you, and he loves you with everything within him. He loves you. And he loves you enough to tell you. He said, the Bible says he chastens whom he loves. So until that day, he's going to tell you. Amen. He loves you enough to tell you. A father that loves their child will tell them when they're wrong, and will love them when they're wrong, and love them when they're right. Will correct them when they're wrong, and encourage them to keep doing right when they're right. Amen. I tell my boys all the time, when they do something right, I try to reward them every now and then. You know. My oldest son, and this is just an example, in these last 2-3 minutes, I told my oldest son, when he was in, I think, first or second grade, he had a problem with his math. And he said, I'm afraid to do it because I'm afraid I'm going to get the wrong answer. I told him, those are just words and numbers on a paper. You ain't got to be scared. It ain't gonna hurt you. It's better for you to not know. It's better for you to try and not know and get the wrong answer. At least you can be helped, and then for you not to try at all and not get the answer at all. It's better for you to try Jesus. Try him. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Try him. Try him and see. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed this topic today. This topic was entitled Contend for the Faith. Amen. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week and a very blessed Sunday. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the only way to make it to heaven. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Continue to contend for the faith. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where the Word of God is preached and taught out of love. And we love you over here. And we pray for you daily in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, till next Saturday, God bless you. And if you don't hear my voice again, as my grandmother used to say, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name.
You know I had coffee.